A lot of exciting things are going on all over the place. I hope you're aware. Are you ready for 2009? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready or not, here it comes. Exciting things are happening. How many of you saw the inaugural? Okay, you know, that speech was very inspiring. In fact, some of the commentators said that he did a better job than John F. Kennedy. Which I don't know. I'm a John F. Kennedy fan. But they said he didn't have any of those one-shot lines that are going to be remembered forever and all that kind of stuff. But the inaugural was amazing. You know, George Stephanopoulos said he needed his speech to balance hard truth and hope. And that is what he did. And you got to understand what he's coming into. These are wild times, guys. Yeah. Very, very wild, crazy things are going on. And people are doing crazy things, too. You know, with the economy going bad, people are starting to freak a little, okay? And you got this Madoff guy who ripped off $300 and some billion of people's money. Now, what does that do for the confidence of the United States? You know, you got all these people wondering, you know, what are they doing with my money? You know, well, somebody's got my money. What's going on with it? Okay?
Yeah.
Then you had last week some guys trying to get out of Florida, right? He's trying to skip the country and he's got like $350 million. And they catch this guy. Now, how excited do you think if that was your broker?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then there's a financial guy. I don't know if you heard this guy. He tried to fake his death.
Yeah.
All right? He took his plane, okay, and he's decided he's going to fly his plane south. Now, the plan was that he was going to land it in the Gulf and no one would find his body, okay? So he radios saying, no, my windshield imploded and there's blood everywhere. So what do? They send up these two F-16 fighters to help him, okay, after this guy. And he parachutes out, and the plane runs out of gas. So it lands before it gets to the ocean. All right? Now, it's out of gas, so it doesn't really explode or anything. And no blood, no nothing. And he takes off, and he had this whole thing planned out. And they catch him on a video thing at a hotel somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Now, people are starting to do crazy things. It's just bizarre.
That would ring.
Here's another one. The banks are asking for more money now, right?
Yeah.
Merrill Lynch, the CEO of Merrill Lynch, okay, decides he needs his office redecorated.
Yeah.
$2 million, okay, a waste basket that costs $1,400.
Wow.
What's with that?
Yeah.
And then on top of it, he gave the rest of the vice presidents, you know, Christmas bonuses. That's your tax dollars that work for you, okay? What's with that? Like, nobody's going to say anything? You know, I just can't even fathom this. Jobs are going, foreclosures. Now they say with the foreclosures, good investors are going under. In other words, people are losing their jobs. It's not people who made bad investment choices. People, good people who are losing jobs are now foreclosing. So now you're getting a whole other wave of people because last week, 580,000 jobs were lost.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's twice the size of Madison. Okay. Then you have all the wars going on. And now we have a new president. Okay. Hope. And you've seen it. People crying. People are like, we got hope. Get Bush out of here. I felt so bad for Bush. I don't think a lot of people did. But here he's escorted out. And people are thinking, hey, we got a new president. This is going to be exciting. He's going to make changes. He's kind of charismatic. He's eloquent. Kind of like me. He's from Chicago. You just got to love it. Yeah. All right, and he's bringing new perspective, right? He's raised from a single-parent household, right? So he's not going to be all this wealth, money kind of focus. He's seen it from a different perspective.
Yes.
And he's black. Mm. Oh, Yeah, you know. So now we got a huge shift in what's going on here, right? And he seems to be a good speaker, but the question is, does he have what it takes to make this thing happen?
Yeah.
You know, they said in 90 days the honeymoon is going to be over.
Right.
What does that mean? That means after 90 days, the ooh and the ah is over.
Yeah.
And things better be different or we're going to start throwing stones. Okay? Now, why do you think Barack started this thing before he came into office?
Yeah.
He knows that this thing's got to go or else it's going to get ugly.
Right.
And he's fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Now, I wrote down a few things that he said at the inaugural, and I thought, man, this is so appropriate for the church, so apropos, okay?
Amen.
Things that we can relate with, and when I read these things, think about the church going into 2009. He says, first of all, he's humbled by the task before us. And that should be true for all of us. We need to be humbled, right?
That's right.
And then he talks about the oath. He says, this oath is taken amidst gathering storms. That's our situation. He says, we've overcome in the past because we have remained faithful to the ideals of our forebears.
Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. And so must we.
Yeah.
The scriptures, right?
That's right.
He goes on, he says, we are in the midst of chaos, war, and our economy is badly weakened, sapping our confidence.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're caught up in the world, people's confidence is going to get rattled.
Yeah.
All right?
That's true.
If you're worried about losing your job and all that, there's all sorts of fears that come in. And in fact, the next line he says, nagging fear that America's decline is inevitable. Okay. And, there you go, and that our next generation must lower its sights. There's this nagging fear that we can't be up here. We've got to really lower our sights. And many churches have done that.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Right.
He says, the challenges are real, and they are many. But know this, America, they will be met.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Good stuff. On this day, we have chosen hope over fear. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Hope over fear. In fact, that's going to be the title of my lesson today. You like that?
I like it.
And you like that, huh? Huh? Look at that. Isn't that cool? That's such a great shot.
That's awesome.
But they recognize we have chosen hope. And that's awesome, but what is their hope in and what is our hope in?
Come on, bro.
Is their hope just in the president or is it in God? Now, this president needs to inspire, instill faith in America, right? And we need to be inspired. Let's look at a few other things he said. We must have a unity of purpose. Oh, I like this. Of purpose over conflict and discord. Man, you could write a sermon on each one of these points, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is great stuff. He says, time has passed of standing pat and putting off unpleasant decisions. It's true for us every day. We can't just lay around and not do anything. We're in a battle. You lay around in a battle, you get lazy in a battle, what happens? You get shredded, man.
Mm-hmm.
He says, today, we need to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking the church. Oh, America. All right?
Come on, bro. Yeah.
That's got to be our attitude towards
right.
2009.
Yeah.
Then he quoted Washington, and he was talking about how Washington was just getting trashed in the Revolutionary War. And he's just like, it was right over there, you know? And at one point he walked through the campsite. So these guys they didn't have shoes, and they're in the winter, they're huddling around the fire. And he said, this is Washington, he says, we have nothing left but hope and virtue could survive our country. Can you imagine how desperate that is?
Yeah.
Your leader, we don't have a prayer. We just hope and virtue, that's it.
Wow.
And yet he had this great, great victory. You know, for this last year, we've had a great year. We've had a lot of amazing things happen.
Yeah.
But not without a lot of pain and suffering. A lot of pain and suffering. Things
right.
happen. But how glorious. What a glorious year. And I want you to think back a year ago to where the church was at and how much it's grown. even the spirit, atmosphere, the type of people coming in. I mean, we got new people coming in. I mean, look at Tom. Tom came in. Changed the atmosphere of the church. Nick and Jackie here. You know, there's a lot of elements that have happened. And it's exciting. You know, Portland went through a rough year. Okay, you had a leader who kind of went rogue. All right, broke from the movement. Okay? And you had some guys, valiant men, who stood up against it and said, no, we're not going there.
Amen.
All right? And last week they had their inaugural service. They ended up with 66 people, and they had their inaugural, and they had others join them from Eugene, L.A., and a few other people came in. And those 66 disciples had 262 in attendance.
Wow.
That's awesome. And guys, we got to open our eyes.
Yeah.
Not focus on the bad, the ugly, okay? The negative.
Right.
And we could easily do that. All you have to do is turn on the radio and listen to the news.
Yeah.
LA had 101 baptisms last year. That's like almost our whole church. For us, all right, this month alone, we've had 4 baptisms. And another guy's probably going to get baptized either today or this week sometime.
Yeah.
Okay? Now just think about it. 5 baptisms, 1 month. Multiply that by 12, it's what? 60. Can you imagine us growing by another 60? I mean, Chris's desire and goal is another 100. Now, what's that going to take for us, guys? And I'm not just talking about the growth. I'm talking about us handling the growth. The level of maturity that we've got to rise to take care of these people. And we need to take care of them. We need to love these people.
Amen.
Amazing miracles are happening all over. Let me share a few. Just a few. There's a guy that Joe and I studied with this summer, right?
Yeah.
His name is George. Maybe you guys met him. He's was into the biking, okay? And we studied through most of the studies, and towards the end there he said, no thank you. You guys are awesome, but no thank you. All right?
Yeah.
Well, last Sunday, he was driving, and he was going through a green light. He said he looked down, and a car hit him broadside. Bam! All right? And it was such a hard impact that all the airbags went out, and the people in the other car ended up in the hospital.
Whoa.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he hurt his thumb.
No.
He hurt his thumb. Okay?
Okay.
So what does he do? He calls me up, calls Joe up. I'm ready. I'm ready to commit. Baptize me. I was like, yeah, are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, well, when do you want to get together? ASAP. How often do you want to say? Every night.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. See, miracles.
Right.
Yeah.
God opened his eyes.
Yeah.
He was focused on something more. You know, Rockwell last year, I mean, what did we have to do to bring that guy in? Basically, he showed up at a house church service. He thought we were going to be meeting at Whitney Young, right? He goes to Whitney Young, and it's just a Spanish group. He didn't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Comes in, listens, saying, this is awesome. He's getting into it, you know. And he says, really weird, they're translating for me. So we get together with him, he gets baptized. You know, God's just putting people in our lap.
That's right.
You know, we could easily have a growth of 5 this week. And possibly 6. Do you guys know that? Because we got another miracle coming along. We got Jackie.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed, Jackie's pregnant.
Yeah.
Just a little bit here. Any moment, we could have a new addition to our little house church.
Wow.
And that's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it, Nick? Mm-hmm. Now, you can choose hope over fear or, you know, whatever. Depends on who you talk to, I guess. Yeah, a little story. A number of years ago, I was talking to a coworker, and I learned a great lesson that day. These things are things that humble you, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to her, and we get into an elevator, and the elevator door is open for the woman the next level. And the woman walks in, she goes, what are you do?
Oh, no.
And the woman goes, I'm not, I don't think, you know?
Yeah.
And then the doors close behind her. I'm thinking, oh, man. You know, you got to look at that situation and you realize how embarrassing, right? But miraculous. We're excited for you. We're excited for your future.
Yeah.
And we all look forward to being a part of it.
Amen.
Okay. Miracles happening everywhere. You just need to open your eyes. If you haven't noticed, there's a phone right here.
Yeah.
We got a brother from Wisconsin listening to the sermon.
Hey, Aaron.
Okay. We've got our buddy here from Iran.
Iran.
Coming on in. Well, you know what? We have more news from India. Did you guys read this?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to read it again. And the reason why I'm reading this to you is for us to get a world perspective and realize that we are connected to this group. Why are we connected to this group? Because this is where our special is going to be going.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an India update. It says, Sonia, as a teenager, followed her elder brother and became a disciple in May 1996. From 1998, she used to babysit our children. In 2004, she started drifting. She got into a relationship with a non-Christian. We warned her many times through the scriptures. We left New Delhi in June 2007. Sonia stopped going to church. Her relationship broke, and the police had to get involved to rescue her. Upon hearing this, her brother beat her up with a belt. Sonia had lost all hope. She took 70 sleeping tablets one evening and went to bed. Only the next day, when she was unable to regain her consciousness, her family rushed her to the hospital. It was the last few minutes of her life. It was a miracle that Sonia survived. God was giving her a second life,
yeah.
A second chance to live life right.
Yeah.
Debbie was in touch with Sonia over the phone. None of her family wanted her. She decided to move to Chennai to be with us on 2nd October 2008. We studied the Bible with her, and she wanted to commit her life to Jesus. Sonia got baptized November 2nd, 2008, and continues to stay with us. Debbie and Sonia were going for their regular follow-ups when they met a woman on the stairs. Her name was Uma. Uma was married and had two sons. Her in-laws were Christians, and since she was a Hindu, she was rejected by them. Uma decided to accept Christianity and change her name to Catherine. Her mother-in-law still treated her like a servant. Almost every day, she had to hear screams and shouts from her mother-in-law. Catherine had to take care of her husband's printing press as well as her laboratory. Life was hard trying to manage both places and the houses and her babies. So she hired a woman to help her out. Soon her husband was in love with that woman. Great, huh? Mm-hmm. Catherine lost all hope and went into depression. Since she was not much help in her job, her mother-in-law wanted to get rid of her. So her son, Catherine's husband, poured kerosene on her to light her up. Catherine had somehow managed to escape to her parents' place. After a few weeks, her parents refused to keep her and dropped her back at her husband's place. Her husband tried to kill her again. But this time, she left town. Catherine had come to Chennai after selling her gold chain, had some money to live on. She had got herself in a hostel and found a job. It was a few months later when Debbie and Sonia met Catherine. Catherine came to church, studied the Bible, and was baptized into Christ.
Amen.
Please be praying for us, especially for the Chennai church. Right now, New Delhi is now 12 disciples, and Chennai is 22. We want to double by the end of 2009. We are working hard and giving you our best.
That's awesome. Amen.
You know, one of the reasons I wanted to read that to you is realize the battle that's going on all
yeah.
over the world.
Come on, bro.
You know, we think our problems are tough with our finances and stuff. We're not having somebody pour kerosene on us and trying to light us on fire.
Right.
I mean, that's just hard to even begin to imagine.
Yeah.
That's why we're supporting this church.
Amen.
Okay? And understand what we do encourages these people.
Yeah.
All right? Now, interesting enough, it says they started with 22 people. What did we start with? Who knows?
29.
All right. Imagine they'll be this size in 2.5 years. All right. That's got to be your vision.
Yeah.
But it's going to take sacrifice, and that's why we're supporting them.
Amen.
Now, right now, we're averaging about 160, 180 members or in attendance on Sunday. And that's awesome. Our largest was 240, what was it, 245, 243, something like that. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I envision us growing out of Whitney Young.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Now, to me, that's not by faith. That's just what I believe. I mean, it's just, I know it's going to happen. And I mean by the end of this year.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many can we hold on that floor? 247 or something, 248. Okay. Now, we have the Hispanic group on another level. Okay, that'll help. But imagine if we do grow by 60, all right, or 100. You add 100 on to 2 or 180, you got 280. Then you got children, all right, another 40, 50 children. Then you got visitors. What's going to happen? So what does that mean for us? All right, now we got the biggest house church in the group, all right? We got two house churches going on right now. We got the biggest region. We got about 45 people. That means we've got a lot of work to do, and we got to raise up people to be able to handle that growth. That means also possibly another location. Now, you know, Chris is going to try to hang on to it together as long as possible. That's his goal, and it's smart because the bigger we are, the better, the more, you know. That's what he's going to want to do, but you can only hang on to that for so long. Unless we get another location where we can all meet that's larger, we're going to have to split and take on that challenge. So what's it going to take? It's going to take time, sacrifice, and all that. Okay. The other thing is we got to realize this church has got to have a world focus. Now, we talked about India, but I want you to think about the people in the church right now. All right, you got Omar, who's from where? Africa, but what's the name of the country?
Gabon.
You got Victor, where's he from? He's somewhere in Africa. I don't know if he's from Kenya or what.
Kenya.
You got Juan from Mexico. Ginger's from Guatemala. Nikki and her sisters are from the Philippines. Ivana is from Poland. Lorado is from South Africa. Nick is from Ireland. Okay, we had a mixed bag here.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what happens when we start planting those churches all over? Yeah, we're going to be sending them out. And soon, we'll have a Middle East group here.
Yeah.
All right, with Hisham's group, we've been studying. We got probably about 5 or 6 studies going on. And Hisham has said, hey, listen, if you guys need us to do another service there, he's more than willing to help. So it could be the English, the Arabic speaking, the Spanish. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
International. I like it. Okay, let's open our Bible to 2 Corinthians. That was all introduction.
You like it.
You like it? Oh, good, good.
Come on, $5.
You know, there was a teen from Hisham's group that was there last Sunday. And after the two baptisms, she went up to Maria, and she said, what do I got to do to get baptized? I want to study the Bible. And it's great, encouraging to see this girl, wow, I want this. And we got to understand how many people desire this.
Yeah.
Now, as our country's going through wild stuff, like I said, so are we, right?
Yeah.
And we got to fight the temptation to be fearful.
Right.
And we need to choose hope over fear.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 3, verse 7. Sorry. Everybody there? Chapter 3, verse 7. This is Paul who wrote this. He says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are, what? Very bold.
Yeah.
We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, notice he says we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, well, what's he talking about? You got the two covenants. You got the old law and you got the new law. And he's talking about when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, because that's the only time he had... it says the ministry brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone.
Yeah.
Okay? He came down, his face was glowing.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of like Bob on his wedding day.
Oh. He came.
Yeah, glowing. Look at Byron's glowing now. Look at that, huh? Okay. Now, unfortunately, that radiance faded away.
Yeah.
We can't have that in the marriage. Can we?
Marriage
retreat, that's right. Amen.
That's what you treat the kids, is you're so scared of them, right?
Oh, there you
yes.
go. Okay, so what did Moses do? He put a veil over his face. Why? So that they could, you know, because it was too bright? No. Because it says that his radiance was fading away. There's nothing exciting about seeing somebody fired up and become dull. Okay? And see, really, he's saying, listen, bottom line, what happens? He says, a veil covers a person's heart until they come to the Lord.
Right.
All right? And people see it. They come into the church. They're like, wow, you guys are radically different.
Yep.
There's a different spirit.
That's right.
There's a different heart.
Yep.
The relationships are different. You can see it in their eyes. They're excited to be at church. They don't rush out. You know, at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings, we usually have to go home, everybody. We got to get out of here. Or, well, you know, that's what they want. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
All right? So he says, listen, their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. And we can liken that to a ministry where it's not spiritual ministry. Okay? And what happens is you become dull because it's not focused on things of the Spirit. It's not focused on the things of God.
Yeah.
It's focused on things of the world.
Right.
All right? And that's our battle. Our society is constantly trying to get our attention.
Yeah.
You need this. You need to buy that. Now it's like sales going crazy. You know, the politics, money. The temptation is strong. Are you getting this?
Oh,
making sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Where am I here? Okay, in verse 18, he says, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. All right, what does that mean? That means we should be constantly becoming more radiant.
Right.
That's the walk of a disciple.
Amen.
Why? Because as you walk with Jesus, you become more like Jesus, and you should get more fired up.
Amen.
You should be more radiant.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, what would cause a person not to do that? I'm glad you asked. If you look right there in the word, the little word there that says reflect, you notice there's a little A there? Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
It says in verse 18, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. If you look at that, and you go down to the bottom of the page, it says, or contemplate. You know, you reflect on the Lord's glory. What does that mean? It means you dwell on God.
Yeah.
If you just spend the time to think about God,
yeah.
to pray, to have your quiet times, you become more radiant.
Amen.
Because the more you dwell on that, your mind changes. That's where the battle is. Either you're focused on God and spiritual things or focused on the world. The more you begin to dwell on God, God inspires us. How can we have the Spirit of God and be dull? We should be bouncing off walls.
Yeah, that's right.
Power that created the universe is within us.
That's right.
And he says, you know, there's freedom and there's glory. Now, if we back up here, in verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Amen. Barack Obama says, you know, what have we chosen? Hope over fear. And really, the glory comes from walking with God, knowing God. And he says, since we have such a hope, not a hope in our president, not a hope in our economy, not a hope in my abilities,
right.
All right? Not a hope in Chris's leadership. Our hope is in God. And he says, because of that, we are very bold. Okay? Now, if you're not bold, what does that communicate? Huh? That you're really tight with God? Wrong answer. No. The boldness comes from walking with Jesus. Do you guys remember when Peter and John were arrested?
Yeah.
And they blast them. And Peter and John blast them back. All right? And they say, know this, it's by Jesus Christ that this man walks. And they were taken back. And it says that these were unschooled and ordinary men. And it says they had taken note that they had been with Jesus.
Right.
What a cool scripture.
Yeah.
They took note that they had been Jesus. Can they say that about us? You know, man, I can tell about Joe's relationship with God. Look at Joe. I know what he was before, and I do. God has transformed his life. Now, the challenge for Joe is he going to keep growing?
Amen.
Is he going to keep inspiring? I've seen Joe change. I've seen a lot of us change.
Amen.
But are we changing for the better?
Yeah.
Are we going back? Are we becoming more dull? Mm. You know, that dull thing, we can blame on getting older. I've tried that.
Sure.
Yeah. Tom and I had a discussion about that.
Yeah.
Getting dull. You ever been there, done that? You know, that I realize that there is a benefit of getting old.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
You know, these things, I never used to have to wear these.
Right.
Now when I look in the mirror and I take these off, I don't look so bad. Huh? And you can read the same book over and not know that you read it. And you can watch, you can only, the older you get, the less movies you have to watch. Because,
oh, okay.
You know, so anyways. Now, we're not talking about that dullness.
Come on, Bill.
But there's glory in getting old, too. There's nothing more exciting than seeing an old guy like some of us being bold.
Right.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Milwaukee. I got to tell you about this guy. There was a guy in Milwaukee. His name was Harvey, okay, and he was about 65 years old, okay? And we sat out, we stayed with this guy, and he loved God that he quickly converted, okay? But this guy was radical, okay? He used to go to Muslim mosques, go in, listen to the whole thing, and then say, excuse me, I have something to say. And then he would preach.
He was awesome.
65-year-old guy. And that zeal is what we're talking about.
Amen.
Loving God passionately. Okay. One of the things, too, that keeps you focused is being in the battle. If you're not studying the Bible with people, okay, you miss out on the victories that God can have for us. The other thing is, when you study the Bible with people, all right, it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Because they'll ask you a question, and you should know the answer. Now, if you don't, be humble and say, you know what, I need to get advice on that. Or on a heart condition.
Yeah.
You sit down, it's hard to challenge them on sin if you are in that sin.
That's right.
And that's why God has us do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the boldness thing. I got to camp out a little bit more on that. George, all right. All of a sudden, he gets hit by a car. And his boldness level, bam.
Yeah.
Well, why? Now it's a reality. Heaven and hell is a reality. And see, when we're dull, we're not thinking on that level.
Yeah.
Right.
And the question is, what has God got to do to wake us up to see it? Do you guys know that Lorado almost died a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
She had a serious situation happen. She was rushed to the hospital. The doctors told her if you hadn't gotten her in the next 15 minutes, she would have been dead. Okay. Now, I was talking to Lisa Fellis, and she told me, hey, you should study someone with lorotomin. I mean, she preaches it. Hey, I was almost dead. Bam! You got to wake up.
Right.
And see, that's what happens
yeah.
when you see it the way God does.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge for us. All right, verse 18, also he says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. Now, if you back up once again to verse 15, he says, even this day, when Moses read, a veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You guys know what that turning word is?
Repent.
Yes. Bob gets the gold star. Come on. Yeah, that word means repent. Anyone turns to the Lord, okay, great things happen. And we got to have a lifestyle of change.
Yeah.
A lifestyle. Repentance of sin. Sin destroys our zeal. Repentance brings what? Who knows?
Refreshing.
Refreshment. That's what it brings. There needs to be an alarm and an urgency.
Yeah.
The flip side of this all is you can see the damage, what happens when people lose their faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
They lose that fire. They lose that glow. And as that dullness starts to creep in, the hearts get hardened. As it says, a veil covers their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just sense that they've lost that fight. They've given up. What happens then? They don't open up. They don't repent. They don't keep turning to God. They start falling into sin. The hearts get harder.
Yeah.
And they slowly die. Then the old self starts coming back. Fears start coming back. And it's a slow death.
Yeah.
So the question is, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose fear or hope?
Come on, bro.
For us, we got to say, okay, is our hope really in God?
Yeah.
All right? That's our challenge. If it is, what's the result? This ever-increasing glory.
Amen.
And what we need to do, guys, for one another, is we need to help each other take the veil off.
Hmm.
You know, I appreciate so much when people point stuff out. I hate walking around with an egg in my face.
Yeah.
You know? Bro, do you realize you're doing this? And to me, that's more embarrassing than somebody coming up and saying, hey, this is what you're doing. And this is where love is. Love says, listen, I love you enough to challenge you. I love you enough to get in your face to help you change, or else you are going to spiritually die.
Yeah.
And really, we miss the miracles, guys. We have so many miracles, and we will continue to have miracles. And to me, that's the proof that God brings about, the transformed lives.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, my goal, once again, is for this thing to double. We got to come up with somebody from this group who's going to lead it. All right? I want to know who's going to grab the reins.
Amen.
Who's going to take the challenge. Who's going to go after it and continually change.
Amen.
Let's close in a prayer. God, thank you so much for blessing us. God, our prayer is that you open our eyes.
Yes, God.
Help us to see the glory and the victory. Help
yeah.
us not give in to our fear. As so many people are, help us to realize, God, that you are humbling this nation. You're bringing people to their knees.
Please.
And I pray, God, that we will take advantage of it and realize how you are working. Help us to repent, change, to aggressively go after the many things that we need to go after so that other people will be rescued.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us the hope. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.